Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Thank you.
And we're here, Garage Talk Live. Welcome. July 23rd. Where's the month going? Everybody survived the heat wave last week? I know I did. It was a little tough. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show with Valerie Thompson, the world's fastest motorcycle racer. A lot going on this week. We have IndyCar in action, NASCAR, Xfinity and Cup in New Hampshire. Truck Series was off. They'll be back this weekend at Pocono. And IndyCar was at Iowa. And NHRA at Bandimere, Mile High Nationals. This season's winding down. Five more weeks for the regular season in NASCAR. Did the playoffs begin? Where's the summer going? Next week we have some, next year we'll have some new scheduling. The season will wrap up, it'll start in Daytona and wrap up in Daytona, and then the playoffs, so just kind of, where do we go from here? Well, anyway, let's see what the IndyCar results for the Iowa 300. Joseph Newgarden claims the top spot. Scott Dixon came in second. James Hinchcliffe, good run for him, coming in third. Simon Pagenaud was fourth. Spencer Pigot was fifth. Alexander Rossi was sixth. Zach Beach, seventh. Graham Rahal was eighth. Sebastian Bourdais is ninth. And Tony Kanaan, good run for him, rounds out the top ten. He hasn't had a good one in a while. So, average speed, 137. Now, this race was rain-delayed to, like, the wee hours of the evening. It kept raining and raining. I think that rain finally got here in the past couple days. But they finally got that one in. Race took an hour and 56 minutes. Margin of victory, 2.85 seconds. That was a good gap there between first and second. Seven lead changes amongst five drivers. Five cautions for 45 laps. That's a pretty high number of cautions for an Indy race. Usually they don't run that many. But it was an oval, so that's what happened. Let's check your point standings with the win. Newgarden in the top spot by 31 points, or 29 points actually. 29 points over Alexander Rossi. Simon Pagenaud is third. Scotty Dixon is in fourth. Will Power in fifth. Graham Rahal in sixth. Takuma Sato in seventh. Ryan Hunter-Reay is eighth. James Hinchcliffe is ninth, and Sebastian Bourdais rounds out the top ten. Their next race will be, let's see where their next race is. Like mid-Ohio, the Honda 200. That's a 4 mile, no, that's not a 4 mile long road course. That's a smaller road course back on the road. So you can catch that on July 28th at 4:05 Eastern. It's going to be a busy weekend in racing anyway. We've got Pocono, IndyCar, Use Arthur back in. Take a look. Yeah, Arthur will be in Pocono. I didn't see anything on them this weekend. They'll be in for the Forts USA 100. They were out in Iowa, too. The Fans with Benefits 150 this past weekend. Let's see who did well there. Where is the sin? There we go. Results. Chandler Smith took the top spot. Christian X. The second, Michael Self. And third, fourth, Carson Hocevar. Ty Gibbs is fifth. Sixth, Corey Haim. Seventh, Travis Braden. Brett Holmes is eighth. Ninth is Joe Graff Jr. And tenth is Colby Howard. Check the standings in ARCA. Michael Self leads the points. Brett Holmes is second, Christian X third, Travis Braden fourth, Joe Graff fifth, Tommy Vi Jr. sixth, Brad Smith seventh, Chandler Smith is eighth, Tim Richmond is ninth, and Ty Gibbs rounds out the top ten. So there's a few that didn't run all the events in the top ten, but most of them did. So in the Pocono, they're going to run, I think ARCA and the trucks will run 50 laps each on Saturday and 400 miles for the Cup Series on Sunday. Let's go to the NHRA. All the series. We had Pro Stock Motorcycle, Top Fuel, Funny Car, who took the Wally this week. Finals came down to Steve Torrance and Clay Milliken. Torrance qualified number one. He's been on a roll of late. Number one qualifier, got a bunch of wins under his name this year. Looking to defend his title as he took it last year. He faced nobody in round one up against Richie Crampton in round two. 0.02 better off the light than Crampton with 397 to Crampton's 473. No contest there. Then up against Brittany Force. An 037. Off the tree better than Brittany, and a 382 to Brittany's 433. Looks like, I guess he had lane choice, and the lane was getting better traction because his opponents in the round two in the semis were way slower. They were pedaling it down. Clay Milliken, his path to the finals was against Doug Kalita in round one. A little slower off the light than Kalita, but 2-100, almost 0.12, 12-100 quicker. got him the win late up against Leah Pritchett. They were even off the light there, but Leah with a 398 and Clay with a 386 got the best of it at the end. And then up Jordan Vandegrift in the semis. Vandegrift way off the light better, 068 with 084. Milliken with a 384. Vandegrift having problems. 982. Didn't get down the what he broke going down the line, set the stage for the final. Torrance with an 044 off the tree. Milliken 058. And in the ET, 404 with a 4 for Torrance. 412 with a 6 for Milliken. So Torrance gets to Wally again. Low ET of the event was a 378 for Milliken in round one. Best reaction time, Scott Palmer with an 041 and Clay Milliken with a top speed of a 325. In the funny car division, came down to Bob Tasca and Tommy Johnson Jr. Tasca's been getting some rounds in of late. Robert Hite was your number one qualifier. Made it all the way to the semis against Bob Tasca. But Tasca, round one up against Jim Campbell. Got him on the ET there. The reaction was not 098 to a 108. It was close, but they were Ronnie Capps in round two, 083 for Capps, the 079 for Tasca, but the 409 for Tasca was better than the 559 for Capps. Tire traction issues. Tasca looked like he was having that cleaner run. Looked like nobody broke in the 3 second range the whole weekend in funny car. And then up against Robert Hite, 068 for Tasca, 074. 416 for Hite, 411 with a 4 for Tasca. Close one there. But Tasca makes it to the finals against Tommy Johnson Jr., your number two qualifier. Up against Jeff Deal in round one. No contest there. Jack Beckman, round two, 076 to 087, almost the whole 100 quicker off the tree. Actually, it's 011 quicker off the tree, 4059 to 4092. Johnson takes it all the way across up against Cruz Pedregon. Haven't seen him up there in a while. The 79 to an 069. Cruiser getting off the light first, but losing traction. Johnson with a 405. Cruiser with a 494. Sending it down to Bob Tasca. Off the tree, it was 059 for Tasca. 092 for Tommy Johnson. I mean, it was a big jump there. But Johnson and Tasca, was a 415 with an 8 for Tasca and a 410 with a 2. Well, even though there was almost a 4/100th advantage off the tree, Johnson with a 5/100th better ET gives it to Tommy Johnson. Low ET of the event was Cruz Pedregon with a 401. Best reaction time, 027. Tim Wilkerson, best top speed. Robert Hite, at 322 mile an hour. Pro Stock has been running a bit. Came down to Greg Anderson and Matt Hartford. Anderson qualified ninth. Hartford qualified third. Anderson up against Fernando Cuadra in round one. Close on the ET, but Anderson with an 045 to the 074 off the light helped. It was a 698 for Cuadra and 696 for Anderson. Sent it up against Richard Freeman, who qualified number one. That's the owner of Elite Motorsports. 074 for Freeman, 065 for Anderson. 693 with a 9 for Anderson, 703. Close race, but Greg Anderson has been there, done that a few times. Got a few championships under his belt. Got that one. Up against Derek Kramer in the semis. 030 to an 036. 6-1 thousandths. With a 695 with a 4. Kramer with a 694 with a 9. Ooh, that was close. Gives Anderson the whole shot. Sends him into the finals. Matt Hartford, on the other hand, against Alex Lachlan in round one. Lachlan, no time. Didn't even take the light. Hartford up against Val Smelland, an 093 for Hartford. Smelland, an 045. 695 with a 5 to a 700 for Smelland. Hartford moves on to Jeg, against Jeg Coughlin. Coughlin, 035. Hartford, 018. 697 with a 7. 697 with a 4 for Coughlin. The whole shot comes into play for Hartford. But in the end, 032 to 030, Hartford off the light quicker. But was it enough? Hartford with a 696 with a 5. Anderson with a 695 with even. 2/1000ths of a light advantage did not help. Greg Anderson with a 15/1000th advantage at the light takes the win, and the Wally. Low ET was a 639 by Anderson in round two against Freeman. Best reaction time, Stephen Tuzak, a 002. You can see him throughout there. Round one. But he lost to Jason Lyon, so it didn't help by a lot. And top speed, Greg Anderson, 197.68. Pro Stock Motorcycle in action. Andrew Hines takes Eddie Krawick out, his teammate, but I'm not surprised. Andrew Hines, low ET, 717. Best reaction time, Matt Smith. Top speed, Matt Smith. Did they run Pro Mod? No Pro Mod. So we'll check the standings. Funny card, Steve Torrance locked in. Brittany Force in second. Antron Brown third. Doug Kalita fourth. Clay Milliken fifth. Mike Salina sixth. Leah Pritchett seventh. Richie Crampton, 8th, Scott Palmer, 9th, and Terry McMillan rounds out the top 10. 20-point difference between 10th and 11th with McMillan and Proc. So there's a bubble battle there. Could change the top 10. Funny car. Only one locks in the playoff spot, Robert Height. in the number one spot. Tommy Johnson Jr. with the win is second. John Force is third. There's a good gap between Johnson and Height. We're looking at 149 points there. And then we got this is John Force is third. Ronnie Capps is fourth. Jack Beckman, fifth. Bob Pasta, sixth. J.R. Todd, seventh. Matt Hagan, eighth. Sean Langdon, ninth. Tim Wilkerson on the bubble, but he's got a 132-point lead. I'll say 138-point lead over 10th spot, Cruz Pedregon. So they're probably going to be who locks in. Pro stock, Bo Butner still in the top spot. Not locked in, though. Greg Anderson, second. Alex Lachlan, third. Matt Hartford, fourth. Fifth, Jason Lyon. Derek Kramer, sixth. Seventh, Jake Coughlin, Jr. Eighth, Erica Enders. Ninth, Chris McGahey and Roger Brogdon in 10th. We're looking at about a 50-point difference between 10th and 11th, which is Kenny Delco. So that's doable, depending on how many more events they got till the end of this regular season. So that's the thing there. And Pro Stock Motorcycle, Hines, Krawick, and Hector Arana Jr. all lock in to the countdown. Matt Smith is fourth. Aaron Stoffer, fifth. Angie Smith is sixth. Ryan Oler, seventh. Angel Sampe, eighth. Hector Arana Sr., ninth. And Joey Gladstone is in 10th. So we've got three lock-ins there. And we'll, no lock-ins in Pro Stock. And one each for Funny Car and Top Fuel. So, we've got one, two, three ladies in the countdown zone. Well, we won't say they're locked in, though. So. Xfinity. Christopher Bell leads two times for 186 of the 200 laps. Winning stage two, but not stage one. Takes the checkered flag. Cole Custer started from the pole. Bell started in outside pole. Was second. Did not lead a lap. Not too many people led laps. Brandon Jones led twice for 13. He was the only other double. He was the only double-digit lap winner. And then Ryan Sieg led once for one lap. Brandon Jones also won stage one. So. Somebody might have pitted early, but it looks like Brandon led twice for 13. Gets one playoff point, but he's a regular. Christopher Bell gets six. Justin Allgaier was third. Tyler Reddick was fourth. Paul Menard, fifth. Chase Briscoe, sixth. Brian Truex, seventh. Ryan Sieg, eighth. Brandon Jones was ninth, and Noah Gragson rounds out the top 10. Average speed, 104 miles per hour. Margin of victory, not close, 4.068 seconds. 2 hours, 1 minute, 39 seconds long. Five lead changes amongst six drivers. Five cautions for 28 laps. Christopher Bell's got 13 victories in 59 Xfinity races. It's his fifth victory this year. And 12th top 10. And it's his second victory and second top 10 at New Hampshire. In your point standings, Tyler Reddick leads the points overall. But he has three wins. Christopher Bell and Cole Custer, 2 and 3 in that order, and each have five wins. So seeding-wise, they'll be bumped up. Justin Allgaier is fourth. Austin Cindric is 5th. Noah Gragson, 6th. Chase Briscoe, 7th. Michael Annette is 8th, but he has a win, so he could be bumped up to the 4th seed. Justin Haley, 9th. Doesn't have a win in Xfinity. He's a rookie there, but he does have a win in the Cup Series. Got it at Daytona. John Hunter Nemechek is 10th. Ryan Sieg is 11th. And Brandon Jones on the bubble. Got a 103-point lead over Gray Golding. So nothing happening there. Sad news this week. Crew Chief Ford, Justin Haley in the Xfinity Series, passed away at 37. Nick Harrison, cause of death was unknown at the time. I haven't heard anything on it, but it happened this weekend at New Hampshire, so nobody knows what happened is. I'm so surprised I didn't see anything on it. Maybe NASCAR had something on their news, but he was with Colleague Racing. If you remember, Colleague Racing took all three spots at the Coke Zero 400. So it's kind of sad when you come off a win and have something like that happen. Anyway, here's Christopher Bell on his win.
We will now begin our post-race media availabilities. We are now joined by our winner, Christopher Bell, and winning crew chief, Jason Ratcliffe. Congratulations, guys. Thanks for popping in. We'll go ahead and open it up for media questions. If you have one, please raise your hand, and we'll get to you as soon as possible. Start right here in the front.
Hello, Jason. Hi. Could you just comment on your short track program and this guy's ability to implement it?
You know, since we started last year, it's been pretty good. You know, we hit on a package that works for us, and obviously with Christopher's background, I think, you know, that kind of suits his driving style, and especially at tracks like this where, you know, you get into traffic pretty quick and you have lane options, and, you know, I felt like we were a little bit quicker than those guys today, but where you would really stretch it out is when we get the lap traffic, and we'd start working the lap traffic just better than those guys. So it fits his style. I mean, I think our intermediate program's strong as well, but we've definitely been good on the short tracks. It's been our bread and butter so far. So we'll just keep capitalizing on that.
Go over here to the right to Jerry, and then right back to Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, Starts.net. Chris, talk about your domination there, basically. I mean, and you and Bell, I mean, you and whole thing be going back and forth, wins, tip, pat. What are you thinking about this overall season?
I think the season's gone really well so far. We just need to keep clicking away here. We're going to Iowa next week, which should be another really good racetrack for us. So it should have a shot at it. And then after that, it's coming into a little bit of a rough stretch for me as a driver. The road courses, I love Bristol, but I'm not much of a road racer. So we had moments where we were pretty good last year at the road courses. So hopefully I can put it all together. I know my cars will be good. So I'll have Kyle as a teammate, walking Flynn, and hopefully I can learn some from him and be competitive.
Congratulations, Sherman Whitman, WPKP Racing, Pittsburgh, Mass. You led for all but 14 laps. What do you credit that to?
I just credit it to a great race car. That's the biggest thing, and it keeps getting pounded into my head week in and week out that the race cars are the ones that – the race cars win the races. The drivers just kind of are along for the ride. So Jason keeps giving me great race cars, and that's what the key is.
The race car, yes, but isn't there something about the driver, too, that makes it happen?
Absolutely.
I just hold the wheel. So all my job is to make sure that the race car goes around the racetrack as good as it can, and you know, my team are the ones that win the races.
We'll go to Bob.
Bob Parker, Fox Sports. Last week you had a dominant car early, and obviously Cole got, they got their car better late. I know there's no sundown here that really would impact it potentially as much, but was there a concern for you at all? Gosh, we're so good early, is the same thing going to happen?
A little bit. It's definitely intimidating whenever you lead the entire race, but it was a little bit different this time because the double zero is kind of keeping up with us a little bit in the first stage. So I had a little bit more direction to point Jason on why, you know, why I couldn't continue to stretch the lead out. And then, I guess the biggest difference was obviously the sun didn't go down, so the track didn't change very much. But we just executed all day. My pit crew did fantastic. We never lost positions on pit road. Restarts worked out in my favor. Never lost positions on restarts. So just everything worked out today.
We'll go down to Jerry and then back.
Jason, to you real quick. You've been with a lot of drivers, a lot of good drivers. What do you see in Christopher? What do you see as potential?
I get this question every time we come here. It's awesome. I love it. So he obviously, I think his record shows it. I heard someone today in qualifying mentioning his win to start ratio, which I didn't even realize. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. That's a different category right there. So, you know, what else do you say? I think that speaks for itself. And I think for as far as his future goes, I mean, you know, like I say every time I get asked this question, he can go as far as he wants to go. I mean, I think that he's on the right path. I don't think he has to be in a hurry about it. He's doing good things right now. He's learning. There's a lot of cars out there that would love to have put one of his seats in it. So he's being patient. He's doing a good job of executing each and every week and building on that. And, you know, we'll see what tomorrow holds. But I think it's got good things in store for him. I hate doing that. You know, I mean, I don't think so. His driving style is different than, you know, I've worked with Kyle, and we know he's amazing. He's probably one of the best the sports ever seen. Have different driving styles, and Christopher does things at this stage of his career better than Kyle did. But Kyle did things better than Christopher. So I think my challenge to Christopher each and every week is, hey, these are the areas that we need to grow on. These are the areas that you do really well that come natural to you that are amazing. And I've worked with some great drivers. So I feel like I've got a pretty good measuring stick on where he needs to be there. But then these are the areas we need to work on. And the great thing about him is he takes it to heart and he says, all right, well, I'm going to work on it. And every week he goes out and he does better in those areas. So I think he just, I don't think we really know right now. I mean, he's sitting beside me, so it's tough to see too much. We won't get him out of the room and his head will keep swelling up. But he's pretty good, man. He's pretty good. I think, like I said, I think his record speaks for itself, and we gotta keep him humble, you know, so he keeps digging. But he actually does a good job of keeping himself humble. And, you know, that statement a while ago about it's all about the race car, I think everyone in this room knows better than that. I've had a lot of good race cars and couldn't win races with them without the right guy behind the wheel. So we're doing good things. I'm proud of him. You know, he keeps working hard, and it's exciting to see, you know, where he's going to go in the future. Yep.
Back in the red.
There you have Christopher Bell and Crew Chief Jason Ratcliffe, who was Crew Chief for Kyle Busch as well. So he would know the difference between the two. And obviously Christopher Bell has some good skills because he's got 5 wins this year in, of course, a Joe Gibbs Toyota. So you can't really knock the guy because he's got good equipment and he's got some talent. And if you had somebody that's crew chief for both Kyle Busch and Christopher Bell, he can. There's some comparisons and differences between the two. So, that being said, now for the main event of the evening, the weekend, the Foxwoods Resort Casino 301. 301 laps, 318 miles. I think I picked Kyle Busch to win this one, but somebody who hasn't won yet this year did wind up taking the checkered flag. Kevin Harvick. I think I've been picking Kevin to win certain races at certain tracks, and if it wasn't one thing, it was another, and it didn't happen. He led three times for 41 laps. He took five playoff points, didn't win any stages. A big lap leader. And Harvick did start 14th, starting 23rd and second. Denny Hamlin didn't win any stages. Led one time for 113 laps. Didn't get the win either. Eric Jones. In the 20, came in third, another Gibbs Toyota. Of course, Harvick and the Stewart Haas Ford with the win. He does lock into the playoffs. We'll get that rundown in a few. Ryan Blaney was fourth. Matt DiBenedetto in the 95, another good run for him. He's starting to get some consistency there. Which is good. He does it good on the short tracks. Did good at Bristol, so Martin's good to see a guy come from the back to the front. Just hope he can keep it there. Martin Truex, sixth place, started sixth. Didn't lead any laps. Ryan Newman in seventh in the number six Ford. Seems to be running a little better. It's new team this year, so taking over the ride from Trevor Bain and Matt Kenseth was pulling. They were both pulling, sharing the ride last year. Kyle Busch started second, led four times for 118 laps, took stage one, but he bounced off the wall a couple of times, so. Did slow him up, but he did fight his way back to eighth. He might have won had he not beat up the car a little bit. And it's not what, it's when. Joey Logano, ninth, and Brad Keselowski, tenth. So you have a Stewart Haas Ford. Bunch of Gibbs Toyotas, and then three Penske Fords. So you got all your Penske. Actually, the only Penske supported Ford that is not in the top 10 was actually 13th Paul Menard, who drives for the Wood Brothers. Average speed 104, 3 hours, 3 minutes, 37 seconds. 3-3, if it was a 30-second, or 3-second would have been funny, 3-3-3. Margin of victory, 0.21. Harvick and Hamlin were trading paint, but Harvick was able to pull away and get to the checkered flag first off the final turn. There were 14 lead changes amongst 7 drivers, 9 cautions for 48 laps. Of course, two of them were stage enders. 6-lap stage cautions. Of course, I said it was Harvick's first win of the season. Got 46 and 666 Monster Energy Cup Series races. And it's his fourth victory and 20th top 10 in 36 races at New Hampshire. Let's go to the points. Joey Logano leads the points overall over Kyle Busch, who has 4 wins. Logano 2, so that'll flip-flop. Actually, there's going to be a few changes there. Kevin Harvick is actually 3rd in the points, so he gets his win and locks in. Denny Hamlin going for win number 3 fell a little short in 4th. He's got 2 wins. Brad Keselowski in 5th with 3. Martin Truex Jr. in 6th. He's got 4, so he'll probably be bumped to 2nd. Unless Keselowski gets 4 and he maintains the points difference. Kurt Busch, who got a win last week, in 7th. Chase Elliott, who has a win, is 8th. Eric Amarola, 9th. No wins. Alex Bowman has a win. He's in 10th. Ryan Blaney in 11th, no wins. William Byron in 12th. Kyle Larson, 13th. Eric Jones, 14th. And Ryan Newman, 15th. Clint Bowyer on the bubble is 16th. Jimmy Johnson had a really rough day and dropped a little further back. He is 17th. Daniel Suarez and he are tied. So we got some making up to do. Like I said, this is race number 20th. And we have 6 to go before the end of the season. And then the playoffs begin, so Pocono is next. Well, let's hear from our winning team of Kevin Harvick, Rodney Childers, and Greg Zipadelli on the big win. I know Harvick was happy to get the monkey off his back, and here's what he had to say.
We will now begin our post-race media availabilities. We're joined by members of our race-winning team for the Foxwoods Resort Casino 301. We are joined by driver of the number 4 Busch Beer National Forest Foundation, Ford for Stuart Hoff Racing, along with crew chief Rodney Childers, and vice president of competition for Stuart Hoff Racing, Greg Zavilli. Thank you for joining us. Congratulations, guys. We'll go ahead and open it up for questions. Please raise your hand. We'll get to you as soon as we can. We'll start over here with Jeff. We'll come right here to Katie.
Hi, Kevin. Jeff Buck from The Athletic.
What was your name again?
My name is Jeff Buck from The Athletic. Denny gave quite an extensive, like, minute breakdown of everything from his view. So I wanted to run a couple things by you because he had assumptions about what you were thinking based on what he was thinking. So you initially went low to avoid a lap car, and you felt like that opened the door. So I guess, first of all, like, why did you do that?
A lap car, right in the middle of the groove. With 3 laps to go, you know, there was 4 of them that were just, you know, just right where I wanted to be. So I had to do something, and I didn't want to lose momentum, and I was hoping that, you know, you could catch a break, and you know, as soon as I got to them, the front of my car just didn't turn as well, and that's really where his tire deficit, our tire deficit showed up in clean air. You know, we were, you know, where we needed to be, and you know, ran faster than we had run all day, so. You know, the thing that it comes down to is the call that Rodney made in putting us in control of the race. We got a good restart, and you know, just the lap cars didn't play out for us, and some of the choices that I made allowed that gap to go away, and then it was defense from there.
So he said once he got position on you, he felt like,
wait a second, he never got position on me.
Well, he wanted to. He was side by side.
Yeah.
So he felt like you both were going down the backstretch, like pedaling, like he thought that you were both kind of trying to decide with each other, like who really wants to lead here, because he thought that if he led, that you would probably get behind him and push him up the track
for sure.
So, did you feel that way? And then he thought his mistake was that he should have had the power position on you on the bottom instead of going on the top and letting
you. I agree with that. Yeah, you know, I think you know, for me, I knew that he was close enough that he was going to take a shot and. You know, as soon as he got the opportunity, and I knew I didn't need to be in the 3rd lane. I knew he was going to try to, you know, go through the middle lane and just try to get into the left rear and get me out into the fourth lane, and there's just no grip out there. So I knew going in the corner, I'm like, I'm going down here, going to hit me. I just need to survive the hit. And luckily I timed it. I got lucky in timing it so that as soon as he hit me, I was on the brake and was able to keep the car straight, slow his momentum down. He got up beside me. And then at that point, I was half throttle coming off the corner. I'm like, you know, at that point, you want to have the last shot, you know, going into turn three. And he let off a bunch. And I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. I'll take the bottom here and just, you know, I didn't know what he was going to do from there. And as soon as I saw him, I just kind of let the car have its head. And, you know, he got into the right rear quarter panel. And I was coming up at the same time to try to block and knock the front end out from underneath his car. And we were able to drive up off the corner. So it turned into a wild finish, you know, just honestly because I didn't get through the lap cars, navigating the lap cars well enough in the groove that I was running. I had to do something different. And, you know, our car was just at a little bit of a deficit there, you know, once we got the dirty air.
We'll come down here to Davey, then over to Mark and Nate.
Davey Siegel with Front Stretch. So, Kevin, on the initial restart, did you think you were sitting duck? And then once you got out to about half a second lead, but then Denny started creeping in on you, did you think that it was over at that point? And what was your mindset once he...
Yeah, he never really crept in on me. You know, we were able to, you know, to kind of maintain 4/10 to 6/10, maybe down to 3. You know, and then he made a big mistake there with, like, 3 or 4 laps to go. And, you know, he got back far enough where he had cleaner air and got back to about the same gap. And I just didn't want to. I didn't want to make big mistakes. I didn't want to just, you know, miss the entry. I just needed to hit my marks on entry and get the car rotated. And I really thought we would be fine if it wasn't for the lap traffic. But I thought we were sitting duck yet. But you know, I knew our car was good, and I just didn't know what would happen after 35 laps on the tires. But we ran, you know, almost 2/10 faster than we'd run all day. So that's why sometimes you just have to suck it up from the driver's compartment, and they make the call, and sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong, and today it was right because he put us in control of the restart. And really the key to that whole sequence of things was I didn't have to race the 20. I got a good jump on the restart. The 20 and the 11 got me that racing side-by-side, got me that 4/6 gap, and it pretty much stayed there. And, you know, and as soon as we ran 4 or 5 laps, my confidence level went way up just because of the lap times the car was running, and I could drive it in the corner further and let off the brakes more, and everything just got better. So he knew that the car was better than I thought it was. And, you know, the only thing that really worried me was when Kyle shot by me early in the race on those 2 tires. And so, you know, we needed to just get through the first 2 laps. And we were able to do that.
What did this little guy think of the lobster?
What did it taste like?
It didn't taste good.
We'll come right down here.
Mark Carroll, PRN. Kevin, we're smiling here. You say, you know, it's short track. Expect Denny to hit me. And you know, it worked out, so you're smiling. If it didn't work out, would it still have been okay, that contact and what you guys went through, if you wound up in second place?
You know, I think I just told him, I said, we were leaving on a tow truck or winning the race today. So, you know, I think it's just that point in the way that racing is now, you know, with all the chances that you have to take and whether it's from strategy or blocking or pushing somebody out of the way. I mean, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. I feel like I did what I was supposed to do to try to win the race. Or just, you know, when you're in position, you just have to lay it all out there and see what happens. And today we came out on the right side of it, so I don't have to worry about what would have happened.
Okay.
There you have Kevin Harvick talking about his wins. And the lobster, 22-pound lobster. That's a big one. And his son got to kiss the lobster. That's why I said it didn't taste very good. But anyway, heading to the tricky triangle from race number 2 of the season. Last one was in June. This one is in July. Next year, they're all on the same weekend. It's going to be a cup doubleheader. Taking a page out of the IndyCar book, when they go to Belle Isle at Detroit, they run Saturday and a Sunday race. So Pocono's going to cram 2 into 1 weekend. They better bring more than one backup car. That's all I got to say, because it's going to be kind of different. Well, let's see. Who do we like this week? We like... hard to say. I was looking at who did what in the last three Pocono events. That's the one this year. It was Kyle Busch. The one this race last year was Kyle Busch. And the June race last year was Martin Truex with Kyle Busch third. I picked Kyle Busch last week, and I don't think he's going to get it this week. I could be wrong, but Harvick runs good there. Truex runs good there. It's kind of one of Truex's other home tracks, Dover being the other. And it's hard to say who I was going to say. Kyle Busch led 4 times for 79 laps last month, and the time before that he led twice for 52 laps, leading the most laps in both races. So, that being said, it's hard to say. Of course, he did finish third in the June race of last year. And didn't lead. Actually, he led once for 13 laps, and Harvick led the most. So, going to be a tough one. I want to say Kyle, but just a past record, but I think I'm going to go with Marty Truex this time. He runs good there. Where did he run the last time? Let me take another look. Oh, he finished 35th. Motor let go early. That's what it was. And this one last year. Where is old? Marty finished 15th. He started 8th. So they ran overtime. Well, I'm still going to stick with Martin Truex Jr. So, therefore, if Kyle Busch wins it, then my bad, but I'm staying with, I'm going to go with Truex this year, this time out. Harvick just won. I don't know if he could pull off 2 in a row. That's the only reason why I'm not going there, even though he did win a while back, and he did run good there. So, that's our show for today. I hope you all enjoyed it. Tune in next week, Tuesday, 12 noon, right here on blogtalkradio.com/GarageTalkLive. I'm Vinny. Good day and good racing. Bye now.